Little Things is my biggest title, and Little Things Forever is the most recent release. And it's a game where you search a large patchwork for little things, essentially. So I've been told to find a birthday cake, two horses and a cat. And by pinching and zooming and scrolling around, you can find the thing you've been asked to find.
Matt's Little Things series has seen huge success around the world, with around 5 million downloads. He's come a long way since he was a boy growing up on a sheep farm in Western Victoria.
I got my first computer, I believe it was for my 8th birthday. I'd tinkered prior to that, but once I got a Commodore 64 and the manual, that was pretty much how I spent my youth. I think the earliest one was actually a little jackpot casino machine where you would pull the one-armed bandit and the numbers would go around and then it would pop up and you would win or lose. And there was no interactivity beyond pressing the space bar.
Living in country Victoria in the early 1980s, Matt's hobby of creating video games in his bedroom was unusual.
I happened to stumble into the newsagent once when I was young and found the Computer and Video Games magazine, whatever it was called at the time, and started to realise other people are doing this too.
It certainly wasn't a smooth road to success for young Matt.
When I was 10 years old, I did send one of my games to Melbourne House. They sent me a very polite no thank you letter and a free game, so that was nice.
Now, obviously, you had that initial knockback, but where did your career in gaming progress out of that?
The games that were being created over time got bigger and bigger as publishers were involved and more money was involved. And I was always a little behind the curve, like just as I was able to make a bedroom-style game to professional quality, everyone had moved on and now it was 3 or 4 man-person teams, you know, with an actual artist. So I wasn't good enough at art. And that problem exacerbated. And by the time I really wanted to get into games, you pretty much had to release games for consoles. The PC space didn't really exist as a viable platform anymore. In the beginning of 2000, I vowed to myself, like, that's it. I'm going to get out of whatever database programming job I had and get a job in the games industry. And I had savings. So I just said, well, let's see how long this will take. And it took a year to finally put together a portfolio.
And how difficult was it to get that first job?
Yeah, it was really difficult. I applied to most of the studios in Melbourne and received either no reply or hostile knockbacks. I had a couple of interviews that went well and then not so well. And then finally, it was Tantalus who gave me my first paid job. The most interesting thing was finally there was people around who were doing the same thing I was doing, which I'd never had any opportunity to be in the same room as other game developers. That was the big break. That was the big difference.
Where do your ideas come from for games?
I play a lot of video games and I've played a lot of video games over the years. I can't even begin to know how many. And I will often reference the games I played when I was a kid when making new ones. So I have a book of ideas. Whenever I have even the smallest semblance of an idea, I'll quickly write it down. And it's good to look back over that and see how many have actually come to life.
Has what you see as a good game changed over the years?
For me, the games that I produce often generally aren't the sort of games that I will play. I would like to make games for other people more than myself, which is definitely not the tack other people take. So Little Things, for example, is enjoyed by older women far more than boys or men. And then I've been really wanting to make games that now appeal to my daughter, and so I've been chasing that dragon lately.
What advice would you give to young people, particularly in regional areas, who want to get into the industry? And is living outside of a metropolitan city a barrier anymore to getting into gaming?
It was, of course, really difficult when I was growing up, just simply because there was no internet and so there was no community. But with the internet there now, it really doesn't matter where you live as long as you're passionate about your hobby and are prepared to put in the time and make games, and then most importantly to look at the games you've made and realize how could this be better. But you can get feedback from the internet or join communities. It's so easy to release a game. You just need a developer license from Apple or whoever, which generally costs about as much as $100 a year. You need a computer and a device to play your games on, and that's it. You really just have to make games. So if you're an artist and you're not able to program, maybe find a programmer who is able to bring your ideas to life, and vice versa. If you're a programmer who can't draw, it's probably worth going out and finding an artist to help you find your way.
Is that how it works these days, that a whole team of people works on their own aspect of the game and in putting that together, whereas back in the day you would have done all of that yourself?
It really depends. Like, there are large companies where you can specialise, like you can be the monetization designer, or people like me who try and do just about everything they can, from marketing, programming, art, dabble in sound, and all the other jobs that are required to get a game to market.
Do you get attached to your games? And how do you feel when things that you create don't go well in the market?
I think that everyone would be attached to their games. Like, it's generally a very personal experience, unless you're just in it for the money. But it's really important to roll with the punches. Like, after my first game that I released as an independent, Little Things, I released on PC and it didn't make nearly as much money as it cost to make. And I think I spent about a week in bed and then rolled out and moved on to my next game because I had a folder full of ideas. And throughout that process, I tried to figure out why people didn't like the game. And eventually I happened to release that title on the iPad, and it was a huge hit on there. And so what I realised is it wasn't the game that was the problem, it was the audience who I'd attempted to give it to. Like, you never really know whether a game is good or not, but you should spend time thinking about it and trying to make your games better.
What's happened to the first games that you created as a child?
I resurrected them from cassette recently. I went to Aldi and picked up a little Walkman thing and managed to breathe life into my 30-year-old games. So recently I packaged them up in a file and put them up on the internet, and I think everyone had a laugh for a day. I don't think I'll go on selling them, but they helped me become what I am today.